Welcome along to El Tell and John's La Liga Weekly. Real Sociedad at top of the league. They beat Mallorca in front of a full house after showing off a Copa del Rey. I'm not sure what the custody arrangements are. Anyway, they're top of the league for now, helped out by the madness of the South American World Cup qualification, which means the chasing pack all have a game in hand, except Osasuna, who beat Villarreal to keep their title hopes alive. Jimmy Avila is a man who needs a stroke of luck. Aissa Mandi is a man who specialises in providing just those. Barcelona won. Coutinho scored. Bordalas was angry. It's like we'd gone back into some kind of normal universe where before we slipped into this weird one, it was we all now live. What happens when two new manager bounces collide, everybody? A nil-nil draw as Quique Sanchez Flores Getafe drew with Levante, who are now coached by help me out, Terry.
John, I'm doing the same.
Javier Pereira. I knew all along. I know the Levante manager is, obviously. Anyway, great start. We'll have a quick look ahead to Europe and the Clásico, which are coming up this week, of course. We've got six games. There's two to go tonight, but we want to crack on with it because obviously you're into the European games and all of that coming up. Now, patreon.com/LTEL. One or two of you haven't yet signed up for it, so get on with it. Killian has. He's a new patron, and he wants to go to the Seville Derby in a couple of weeks' time. Any tips on the best way to get tickets would be much appreciated. One minor, very minor snag is that we don't know when the game's being played. In less than 3 weeks' time. Just whenever you're ready, fellas, whenever you're ready. You go on the ticket page of the Betis website, and there's an email address and phone number. The opening hours, in a match week, the opening hours are 10 till 2, and again from 5 till 8 until they've sold out. Honestly, 2021. I love La Liga, but there are times at which you sort of think, catch up with this century.
Yeah. 3 hours siesta in Andalusia at the ticket office.
Yeah. Pop along and see if you can find a ticket. Anyway, look, that game will sell out, won't it? That game will be fine. But but there are plenty of others where the games do not sell out. But there was a full house at Real Sociedad 1, Mallorca 0. It took a long time. We were waiting a long time for that goal on Saturday, weren't we? Looking like we were having a full blank out at one point. But Lamete got the goal for 10-man Real Sociedad. We've discussed them before. How serious are we about Real Sociedad's prospects for this season?
I think we're serious in the fact that, yes, it's possible. And I mentioned on our recent Patreon podcast about how many players they've had, significant players missing through injury this year. So for them to go on this run where they've been unbeaten since the first week of the season when they lost away at Barcelona, it's a fantastic achievement. It really is. And when they do get all their players back fit, if and when, I'm sure some of them will come back fit, but then some others will be injured. But what we're witnessing is a young, vibrant squad that's bigger than we all thought, because these fantastic youngsters keep coming through. Julien Lobetti's second goal of the season, nowhere near being a starter, but when he comes on, he does show quality as well. He's 21 years old, which is aging for some of those young players that we see at Real Sociedad. The B team are in the second division as well, managed by Xabi Alonso. And, you know, it's a team and a coach that are clearly going in the right direction, playing with lots of confidence. They had to be patient in this game. It was a difficult, complicated match for them. Mallorca are a decent team this season. And with Real Sociedad going down to 10 just before half-time, with Ahen Munoz getting into City second yellow card, it was one where you still thought that Real Sociedad would still be the better team. It was a disadvantage, but I didn't think it was a significant disadvantage against Mallorca. But Mallorca failed to really, hammer home any advantage that possibly could have been had. To the extent that, I was disappointed with Luis Garcia Plaza that he didn't make more attacking substitutions. And there was a period in the game in the second half where you kind of felt both teams were quite content with the draw. Mm-hmm. Even Real Sociedad, a draw would have taken them top anyway. It would have avoided defeat. And playing with 10 men for half a game wouldn't have been the worst result in the world. But that shouldn't have been the case for Mallorca. It was a real opportunity for them to, you know, to cause an upset. But Lebetti came on towards the... He came on just after 60-odd minutes and took his goal well. A slight deflection on the finish, which was, you know, kind to Real Sociedad, but overall their play deserved it. It did look like a game in the second half where it was 10 against 11. Hmm. It looked like it still was 11 v 11, you know, so that's quite, you know, a good gauge on how well Real Sociedad are playing this season.
There's a... That we underestimate. Well,
they can't win the league, though. They won't win the league. But I think in our top four is probably unlikely. But, you know, we've seen the potential for teams that we expect to be in the top four to be slipping up this season. So, you know, they're going to be there challenging, you know, a lot closer than we've seen in the past, I think.
I think in the wider world, Real Sociedad are underestimated, aren't they? Because yes. I don't think people appreciate just how many players they produce, as you mentioned. You know, they keep finding them, keep bringing them through. Because obviously, Athletic Club, because of the All Basque policy, that's well known, I think, among football fans around the world. Real Sociedad don't have the hard and fast rule, but the principle remains, doesn't it? That, you know, they keep on producing players. And so obviously, one, they're very good at it, very skilled at it. And two, they genuinely believe in it, which is the crucial bit, isn't it? If you want to bring young players into your team, you've got to believe in it. And you've got to have a coach who believes in it. Otherwise they never get there. You just never get the experience for the final step.
Yeah, and I have to admit a degree of surprise that clubs haven't taken advantage of the fact that Real Sociedad are spending and, you know, are getting so many young players into the team. We don't see them linked with other teams. You know, they seem to be able to keep hold of them. Oyarzabal is the greatest example. He's 24 now. He's been playing since he was a teenager. Hugely important player for Real Sociedad. And now Spain, of course. And perhaps he might be the one that bucks the trends where a big club comes along and thinks it's worthwhile, you know, paying the buyout clause, but they sign well as well. Mikel Merino is a really good signing. He fits in with the squad. Alexander Isak, likewise. Yanazai has contributed heavily over the last few seasons. So it's a club, really well-run club. And you have to remember that Xabi Alonso is coach of their B team. We're in the second division. He's had opportunities to leave the club to take up full-time managerial opportunities. I think there was an offer in the Bundesliga. And he chose to stay with Real Sociedad, managed the B team in the second division, doing a great job. There's obviously a plan there from everybody. And Xabi Alonso was brought into it because he can see the quality coming through and he likes that role that he's got currently at this moment in time. I'm sure one day he's going to be a manager, and I would imagine somewhere the plan is for him to be managing Real Sociedad. But it's a really well-run club that keep their best players and then enhance them with fantastic young players or, you know, quality in terms of signings.
And you thought about, I think you said to me the other day, £63 million, €75 million thereabouts, yes. is clause which someone basically should pay at some point.
Yep, Oyarzabal, I think it's the fact he's now doing it on the international scene with Spain. That, you know, in the European Championships and now in the Nations Cup, regular in World Cup qualifiers, I think that will bring him. I'm sure the big clubs have been watching him over the last few years, but I think there's always a degree of, can he do it at this level? Can he do it at the next level? And I think we're seeing that from him on a regular basis now. And he's a flexible, versatile player as well that can play wide, can play up the middle, can play off of a striker. And in terms of quality, I have no doubt that he can play for any team in Europe now.
Hmm. Yes. We'll see him link with Newcastle soon. That's how it goes now, Terry.
I would imagine so. They could do a lot worse, couldn't they?
They could do a lot worse. Over the years, Newcastle could have done a lot worse than looking at Athletic and Real Sociedad as to how to run a football club. I know it's now totally different, isn't it, with all that money that we're always talking about. But, you know, in terms of a club not from the centre of the country that just produce their own players, you know, just believe in it. It is difficult. It's obviously difficult because not many clubs do it, but, you know, if you believe in it and then...
And that part of the world as well, the Northeast, it's steeped in, you know, fantastic players that have come through systems and for Newcastle not to have done that is a real shame, real waste. The ones they have done it with, they've sold on some massive names in the past.
Very much in the past. Well, you know, a couple here and there, but yeah, nothing compared to how they've managed it at those two big Basque clubs. In fact, not just the big ones as well. You know, the other clubs in that region have done brilliantly. Shall we talk Barcelona? Barcelona, as I said, Terry, we're transported back to a normal world where Barcelona win a game against Valencia. It wasn't easy. Valencia had chances. They took the lead through Gaia. But Barca came through. Great to see Fati back. Memphis Depay with a penalty. Get your views on that in a moment. Coutinho got a goal. Aguero got some minutes. Everything's fine at Barca. All the problems are gone.
Yeah. If only. This is Barcelona with this season. First and foremost, it was a really positive night for Barcelona because of lots of those reasons that you just mentioned. And they came back from behind. When Gaia scores the early goal of the game, you're then thinking this has got Granada written all over it, where Barcelona, Koeman was going to lose patience and start sticking Piqué up front and Luke de Jong and get bang crosses into the box against a team that was going to defend deeply. But that wasn't the case. They were fortunate to reply pretty quickly with Ansu Fati with another fantastic strike. And I'm delighted to see a young player coming back from a serious injury where it had complications as well. That's the worry. If it's a serious injury is bad enough without then going through the complications of have we got to the bottom of it? Has this surgery worked? So you're never sure how he's going to be when he comes back, but he looks exactly the same. And he took his strike brilliantly. He was involved in the penalty. I actually think it was a penalty. I think the challenge was from behind and there was enough contact before Gaia makes contact with the ball. And then Coutinho, as you said, you could see the relief. I've questioned his attitude. Seeing the relief on his face last night when he scored the goal, he was tormented, wasn't he? And to get that goal, you could see the relief. So perhaps I might have been wrong in criticising him in terms of his questionable attitude. Perhaps it was, you know, sometimes it's hard to distinguish between whether it is that or whether it's a lack of confidence. So when he scores the goal last night and you see the way he celebrates with relief, perhaps it has just been a question of Koeman needing to put an arm around his shoulder, encourage him and hopefully that things turn around, because in his day, he has been a top quality footballer. So if they can recover that, so another positive. And then Aguero coming off the bench as well. So I have to say, looked lean, looked sharp, didn't get long, but certainly Barcelona going in the right direction. A really positive night around against a decent team in Valencia as well. So, I mean, Soler hits the post when it's 2-1. That was close. Maxi Gomez nearly got the equaliser from a free kick. So one or two question marks about Barcelona defensively, but in general, they look bright going forward. And, you know, it was a tough game and a good win, which incredibly puts them 2 points behind Real Madrid going into the Clásico. So all this doom and gloom and you know, all the stuff that's been going on with Barcelona, suddenly things are turning around. And this week, because we've talked about it before in other weeks, where they've been on a roller coaster when you think things are just going in the right direction. And then they take a couple of steps backwards. But, you know, after the game against Valencia, good result, good performance, very encouraging, and still plenty of work to do now. But things are looking better now for them.
Yes. Right, Clásico coming up. So let's talk about the Clásico now, shall we? So, actually, no, because they've got Dinamo Kiev to come, haven't they? So let's do that. So they've got Dinamo Kiev in the Champions League to come, Barcelona. I mean, they should win that, shouldn't they? I've just been doing a Champions League preview elsewhere. I've got no faith in Barcelona at the moment. So even a game like that, you think, well, they should be too strong for Dinamo Kiev. You then think, yeah, but I wouldn't want to go, you know, betting a lot of money on that, because they find ways to mess things up. They're not a reliable team at the moment. And then the Clásico is fascinating, isn't it? Absolutely fascinatingly poised, depending on what happens in midweek, because they're two teams that, you know, they need results.
Yeah, and you're looking at, this is what we're talking about, Barcelona this season. There have been other games where they've looked really good and played really well, but then it's followed by a poor performance, a poor result, injured players missing. So I think the fact that some of these players are coming back now from injury, and Gavi played well again last night as well, and he's emerged from nowhere, really. So Pedri to come back as well And we have been saying all along that there are brighter times ahead for Barcelona. We have to forget the Messi era now in terms of where Barcelona are at this current moment in time. I mean, I'm not saying for one second that we should forget the Messi era. I'm talking about, yeah. But in terms of where Barcelona's progression is now, it's a completely different animal. And, you know, these players that are coming back, as I say, Fati, Pedri to be back soon, Dembele to be back soon, Aguero to be back, his first signs of coming back. It does make life easier for Barcelona. And, you know, when they were playing with an unrecognisable front three and new player in Memphis Depay was the standout performer, and we were measuring his qualities that we were seeing against what we've seen in the past. It's not strictly fair, but it was quite enlightening that you looked at it and thought, well, this was Messi, Suarez and Neymar not so long ago, and now we've got Luke de Jong and Memphis Depay and Youssef Demir and, you know, one or two others. So I think where they are now is a fairer reflection on where they will be in the next year or so. And, you know, Real Madrid are stuttering at the moment as well. The last three games haven't been great. Didn't play this weekend. Big game for them against Shakhtar as well after losing to Sheriff. So I think, you know, it's incredible. I've done so many interviews this season for radio and television and stuff about the disaster of Barcelona. And yet here we are, you know, they're 2 points off the top. And going into a Clásico, and, you know, they've got to do some good work in the Champions League to get back into contention for second place. So this is a must-win game at home to Dinamo Kiev. Likewise for Real Madrid as well. They can't afford to be dropping any more points now against Shakhtar. So big week for both the big clubs. And then we have the Clásico to look forward to on Sunday afternoon.
Yeah, and obviously Real Madrid lost twice to Shakhtar last season, didn't they? They were complacent, got done endlessly on the break. They weren't freak results. The Sheriff result, in a way, you could say. I mean, Sheriff, they've got a brilliant goal at the end. Their keeper played brilliantly. So, in a sense, you could write that one off more happily than you could write off the ones from last season where Shakhtar kept just ripping through them too easily. So that they can't afford to be like that this midweek Real Madrid. So for the Patreons, patreon.com/LTEL, we'll be back discussing the European games later in the week. Right, where are we going to go now then? So Villarreal, talking about Champions League teams. Terry, Villarreal 1, Osasuna 2. I can't get my head around Villarreal. I can't quite explain because...
I agree.
Yeah, you sort of think... I look at that, I think they should be okay. But then you look at the results and they never win a game.
No, don't score enough goals. That's the problem, isn't it? 73% possession in this game. They go behind, and it was quite funny watching the game, and Villarreal dominating possession, looked more threatening. The goalkeeper, Sergio Herrera, not called into action on too many occasions for a team that's being pinned back. Osasuna played a 4-5-1. They have Ruben Garcia playing off of Kike up front, and they were dropping deep. They weren't applying to this rule, which is quite disgraceful, actually, of the high press. I keep hearing teams criticised because they don't do the high press. Yes. It doesn't have to be done. You can drop off and you can sit deep and you can allow teams to come to you, and then you can play on the counter attack. It doesn't. It's not a hard and fast rule that if you don't high press, you're not a good team. So Osasuna are quite happy to drop the defence really compactly. The defence played really well. As I say, they were Villarreal dominated possession, but the goalkeeper wasn't called into action on too many occasions. And when Osasuna scored the first goal from Lucas Toro, it was a great shot of Arrasate covering his mouth and talking to his assistant manager. And I could just imagine him saying, "How are we winning this game?" And covering his mouth, and his assistant nodded as if to say, "We're getting away with murder here." But it's what Osasuna do. Away from home, they're well coached, well drilled. Toro scores a goal. They take advantage of any defensive mishaps if you're not at your best, which would explain the winning goal as well. Gerard Moreno scores a fantastic equaliser, stunning goal, great volley. So it was good to see him back after his recent injury. But they just don't create an abundance of chances, Vera. And somehow that Unai Emery is going to have to find a solution to that, because their all-round play is good. I would like to see, I mentioned on the recent podcast about defenders stepping out the back and playing, running into midfield. That was evident in this game, particularly with Pau Torres, who I think is better at that than Mandy. Because when a team is dropping off deep and they've only got one up front, Kike's just standing there. Why do you keep passing to the side, left and right, with him just behind the ball? Work an angle, make sure you can run past him, commit a midfield player, and then, you know, you get more attacking players into the attacking half of the pitch. So that was a source of frustration. But then first and foremost, your job is as a defender is to defend. And Asa Mandy, unfortunately for him, made his error at the end of right at the end of the game to allow Chimi Avila to score his goal. His first for 1 year and 9 months. It took a while coming. He's had to be patient. I'm sure he's chomping at the bit this season because Osasuna only playing the one striker. And, you know, he's been not getting an awful lot of playing time, coming off the bench in a lot of games. So for him, it's great news. For Osasuna, it's great news as well. And, you know, it's unbelievable credit to Chimi Avila to have two injuries that he had back-to-back without playing a game. So one cruciate followed by another cruciate during that recovery. Hence the reason he hasn't scored for 1 year and 9 months. And prior to that, he was on the verge of a big money transfer and possibly to Barcelona at that stage. So it's been a long road back for him, but it is a fantastic result. Osasuna are flying, incredible. You know, fifth in the league. They, as I say, they're really well coached. Top half of the table contenders, very likely now.
If things had worked out differently for Chimi Avila, he could be one of those players Barcelona were trying to sell at the moment. Yeah, they? Yeah. Desperate trying to get rid of him if he'd stayed. But he's 27. How is it just... I guess we don't know. I guess we don't know the state of his knees, do we, as to how far back he'll come. Because he scored loads of goals just before he got injured, didn't he? He was
spectacular goals as well. Yeah. Very, very spectacular goals. He was fun to watch. He was exciting to watch. Mm. You know, scored some spectacular volleys and solo goals. So it's been a source of frustration this year, not seeing him play more regularly. But you saw the embrace between him and Arasati, the coach, at the end of the game. It was, you know, it's been a light at the end of the tunnel. And it was quite emotional watching a player that's gone through all those trials and tribulations to then be fit, to not be in playing on a regular basis, to now scoring a goal, a significant goal, winning goal in a big match, and to maintain this super run from Osasuna. It's been absolutely brilliant what they're doing so far this season. Unsurpassed, unless we talk about Raya Vallecano.
Yes, go on then. Let's do it. So we can't even talk about Falcao. So it wasn't even about him, was it? It's about Raya Vallecano, who at the start of the season, Terry, we were all thinking... with very good justification, they're rock bottom of our predictions league at the start of the season by some distance because they crept up at the start of the season. There wasn't an awful lot to tell you that they should be any higher in your predictions, but there they are. They had to work for it against Elche, but they did, and they're what, sixth in the league now.
Incredible. I mean, it was logical that people thought they would be favourites to go down because more often than case, the team that come up via the playoffs don't have a lot of time to prepare. Rio don't have a lot of money. And, you know, it's logical to think they're the team that's going to struggle most this season. Maybe in the first couple of weeks of the season, we saw why people thought that. But they kept saying they'll come up with something. They need to sign some strikers, need some more menace in the attacking area of the pitch. So they were making do at that time with Randy and Tecca. Then they brought in Sergio Guardiola. Then it was available at the weekend. Then they brought in Radamel Falcao, who I didn't realise had been away on international duty with Colombia. He's back in the international scene. So at the weekend, they had to make do about them. And Randy and Tecca came off the bench. He was the one that was being used as a striker. He scored a good goal. Mario Hernandez, right back, scored his first goal in the top flight. It's an incredible story, it really is. I mean, the run they're going on now, I mean, they've got 5 wins out of 9. They've got 16 points. They're 6 in the table. They're halfway to safety.
Yeah, 16
and that
points.
Still be,
16 points in the last 21 target. Available. Yeah, 16 points in the last 21 available, which if Barcelona had had that, you'd say, oh, well, you know, that's everything's fine, isn't it?
That, and their target is survival.
Yeah.
So while they're on this momentum, keep riding the wave, keep getting the wins, keep picking up the points. At this stage, they'll be pretty much done and dusted by Christmas. Although it won't continue, there will be tough periods during the season. But these 16 points in the bank serve Iraola and his team fantastically well. They're a good watch as well. You know, when I say about well-coached, like Osasuna, they've got their style. They're not negative, Osasuna. They're just well-drilled. They know they're hard to score against, they're hard to play against, and that's their prerogative, that they're, you know, they're not going to make life easy for anyone. But Rayo are a little bit more expensive. Like to play a little bit more, like to commit more players into attacking positions, fullbacks push on, stuff like that. And for them to attack this season in La Liga with this style is brave. And Iraola's, you know, policies is certainly paying off.
A Sevilla won 1-0 away to Celta Vigo. I mean, we have the same discussion, Terry, every week about Sevilla, don't we? That, you know, when they get a result, which they do most weeks, it's without ever looking really very good. And Rafa Mir got the goal, and Celta Vigo they're really making hard work of everything again this season, aren't they? What are they, 16th? So a couple of points above the relegation zone.
Yep, lack goals, and it was evident in this game. I mean, they started the game really well. They have quality in attack, so it's quite mystifying why they create chances, just not taking them at the moment, with plenty of attempts on goal. The difference with Sevilla this week is a lot of players missing through injury. So this is one of those weeks where you can kind of forgive them for not being at their best. I mean, three of the back four, regular back four, were missing. Acuna was missing, Diego Carlos, Jules Koundé were all missing, so players having to step in. Fernando played at the back alongside Rekic at the heart of defence. Gudelli come in at midfield, which I'm slightly surprised he hasn't had many minutes this season. I think he's a really, really good player, can play at the back or in midfield, or sometimes he does both, which he did in this game. So they had to, you know, grind out. Augustinson came in for his debut at the left back, to replace Acuna. So it was lots of players in. Nesri missing, so Rafa Mir playing and taking his place and scoring the goal. So I think it's a really good result. Not the best of performances, and that is the difference with Sevilla this week. We can be critical of the fact that they haven't been great to watch this season. Best defence in the league, only conceded 3 goals. And you know what? This is, I've been saying that they should be genuine title contenders this season. And this result sort of tips me towards that conviction a little bit more.
You don't sound that convinced, though.
I'm convinced they should be.
And I
think grinding out this win with important players missing and a huge part of your defence missing, and yet, you know, other players came in and they still kept a clean sheet. And, you know, I think this type of result is one that so for me, says that they will be genuine contenders this season. So and they're not at their best, players missing, and still get a win against a difficult opponent away from home.
So if we were to do a poll on Twitter, that you're only allowed four, which teams would you put? Who you ask? Who are the title contenders the four title contenders that you should ask people about?
Now, I would say the same four as last season.
So Real Madrid, Atletico, Sevilla and Barca. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
And I expect Sevilla to be a lot closer this season.
Yeah.
They had periods last year where they threatened but tailed away.
Well, they weren't far away last year, though, were they?
No, but they kept having moments during the season where they could have really, you know, put the pressure on.
Yeah.
I think there was a defeat at home to Athletic Club.
There were 9 points
this season that cost them.
Yeah, they missed out by 9 points in the end. And so have a look at the end of the season. So the last 5 games, they only got 7 points in the last 5 games.
Yeah.
So, I wouldn't. So even if they won those games, no, that wouldn't have quite done it. But so they didn't go that close, I suppose. Yeah.
So I think they've got every chance this season. It's just whether they believe. You know, you talked earlier about Shakhtar Donetsk, Real Madrid. Shakhtar players will believe they can beat Real Madrid because they did it last season. Sevilla needs, you know, to actually get that genuine belief. And it comes from the manager that they can challenge, you know, Atletico, Real Madrid, Barcelona, to actually win the title rather than just settle for a fourth place finish. I think their ambitions are that now. I think that should be their ambition. the fact they kept Koundé in the summer and resisted the temptation to sell him suggests to me that they believe that with the way that Barcelona and Real Madrid are at the moment and Atletico Madrid, they probably feel that they can compete with them. They've got a fantastic squad, missing players this weekend, still got a result and still a decent, very decent starting 11. So there aren't many excuses for Lopetegui and Sevilla not to be in a genuine title fight.
And so the question is, Terry, as I say, what happens when the new manager bounces collide with each other? Not a lot is the answer. Levante nil, Getafe nil.
Yeah, 4-1 from Levante with Javier Pereira, slightly defensive. I'd like to have seen them had a little bit more of a go at it. Roger Marti weren't available. And then Getafe played a 4-5-1. So I was wondering, wasn't I, on a recent podcast with Kike Sanchez Flores would adopt the 4-4-2 that he used at Watford. Mm. Took a little bit of a success as well. They were a hard team to play against and they got the ball forward quickly but direct. But he chose not to in this game. So, and the one up front for Levante was Soldado, was back from injury. So it was asking a lot of a 58-year-old to run around up front to be the difference between the two teams. But no, it was far too close, to be honest. No one really had control of this game. But I have to be honest, both teams didn't look a disaster. Mm. So I think that the bottom of the table is going to look interesting in the next few weeks because I'm still not convinced Getafe, despite the fact they're so, you know, just their second point of the season, are that bad that they won't put up a fight to get themselves up the table. Likewise, Levante. So it's going to be interesting in the bottom six, seven, eight of the league this season, definitely.
One last preview question. Atleti against Liverpool. How? Because obviously Atleti not in action this weekend. Oh, South American mess.
Yeah, that's a bone of contention. Is other clubs, leagues in Europe are maintaining the run of games, aren't they? And you know, PSG had to play off on Friday night without their South American stars. Yeah. Other clubs in the Premier League and other clubs in Spain have had to do likewise. And I personally think it's wrong. Hmm. That the clubs that have the South American players, in this case it was Real Madrid and Atletico, weren't asked to play. Yeah. I really do. And I think it's not a tidy look to the league now, is it? With some teams playing this and some teams playing that. And
you're right, it's not a tidy look. Sometimes I don't mind, though, because I think we read too much into the league table early on. Sometimes I don't mind the fact that it stops us reading too much into it, doesn't it? Because you think, oh, if they actually won that, they won that. I don't know, maybe... I don't know. So I'm not worried about the league table. I think it's weird and unfair. I agree with you that some teams play, some teams don't. So against Liverpool, then, I mean, I don't know if you seen Liverpool play recently. They were awesome at the weekend. They've scored 22 goals in five away games. You know, it's a tough one this for Atleti, isn't it?
Oh, it is. Yes, but Atletico in the last few weeks have started playing truer to their form. Mm. You know, I think that the win against Barcelona, the win against Milan, I think has given them confidence. And I think that Simeone will have some sort of plan, you know, for this game. He's had plenty of time as well without the game at the weekend. So no excuses on that front. And he will have a plan and he will know exactly. I think we know what that plan will be. They're not going to go chasing hell for leather for the win. They know that Liverpool can hit them on the break, particularly with the pace of their front three and the quality of the front three. So he'll be guarded against that. Will it be a back three, back five, back four? My guess is it will be a three-man central defence with the wing-backs as well. And then we'll have to see who he plays in the attacking part of the pitch. What type of wing-backs he goes with? I think Trippier plays right-back. Will it be Renan Lodi at left-back or will it be Carrasco? That gives us a little inkling of whether he wants to be attacking or whether he wants to be restrictive towards Liverpool in the opening hour of the game, for instance. So it'd be interesting to see. Can't wait. Classic game. Recently as well, and they were good games, good affairs as well to watch. And this one will be too, pretty sure.
And we'll be back to discuss it with the Patreon soon. So join in the Patreons, everybody. Patreon.com/LTAIL. You can join in for a couple of quid to a couple of euros, depending on where you are, dollars, whatever. Pay however you like. And so we'll be back with more La Liga. Next time we talk about La Liga, Terry, it will be a Clásico to reflect on. So we'll be back for next week for the regular podcast and for the Patreons before that. So we'll see you all soon. Bye-bye.